Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Ron Coomer, one of God's great men, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mikey. David, how are you boys doing today?
Doing all right.
You know, we're okay. We're kind of talking, we were talking a little bit about what it takes to hit 50 homers while stealing 50 bases. Now, I think in your career, you hit 50 homers against the White Sox, as I recall. But that is, you know, here is Ohtani in recovery. He's had the UCL, the Tommy John surgery, and the guy comes back. He can't pitch, but he hits 50 homers and steals 50 bases. Well, how insane are those numbers?
To the point where you talk about guys' impact in our game, and there's only like, I don't know, a couple guys that you could talk about that even come close. I think a guy, the names you would bring up would be Ruth, Hank Aaron, Bonds, you know, McGuire, people like that. You know, the people that I did, maybe a Griffey, you know, Willie Mays, that's it. And now this guy, I watched him throw from a distance, but watched him throw a bullpen in Los Angeles when we were there just a week ago. And there was no holding back on him throwing. So don't totally discount the trifecta of him being able to hit home runs in the playoffs, steal bases. And oh, by the way, the righty's ready in the bullpen throwing 100. He might pitch. I mean, it's unbelievable. I there's no way to describe or put into context in our current game how good he is compared to the league. There's not.
Well put,
nothing,
Ron.
Nothing close.
Remarkable feat, incredible season. It wasn't at that level, but yesterday was kind of a significant day at Wrigley Field. Nothing to do with the game, Ron, but I don't know if you heard Craig Counsell beforehand, but he was pretty candid, and I think as forthcoming as he has been all season long about maybe a level of frustration that's been building, but this is his comment before the game. We should try to be building 90-win teams here. That's what you have to do. That's the playoff standard. That's what you've got to get to be safely in the playoffs, safely in the tournament. So from that perspective, we got a ways to go. Craig Counsell doesn't say anything accidentally. Certainly, he waited until after the Brewers clinched the division to be this open and honest about what the Cubs don't have and what the standard should be. How did you interpret his comments?
Like that, I would agree, David. When you look at, I'm sure it was frustrating. You know, one of his best friends is managing the Milwaukee Brewers, and Pat Murphy. He just left there, and they're celebrating, and there's pictures on the internet of, you know, one of his buddies getting sprayed with champagne, Bob Uecker, and all those things. And he comes to Chicago, and they're for all practical purposes going to be left out of a dance come October. You know, that's frustrating. It's also motivating, frustrating and motivating, and same thing. And I think that's where, I look for good counsel. That's to me what that tells me. But the Cubs do. Coming into the season, they had some holes in their team that they were unable to fill. And I believe, this season it showed. And now, when you look at the overall body of work, you know, there were some issues, and those got to be to catch Milwaukee and to catch the elite teams. You see when you play them, you see where, you know, your holes are, and they've got to be filled if you think you're going to play October baseball regularly. And, you know, it's not 1 year, it's regularly. You're going to be the team that goes to October and you play like LA and New York and a lot of teams that, you know, you're in this thing year after year after year. That's the big key.
Yeah, I just wonder how there could be as big a gap between the Cubs and the Brewers as there is, Ron. I mean, is it money poorly spent? Is it not being able to address, as you say, you know, we knew coming in that they had some issues in the bullpen, that they needed another bat. If they had just fixed the bullpen, even at the trade deadline, maybe this season would be different.
I don't disagree. The bullpen, especially, you know, first half of the season had its issues with injury, with performance, you know, and guys, you know, not having the spots filled. I think, you know, not having a closer, you know, I think going after last season, the closer role, you know, Alzolay was thought of to be the closer, but he was a very unproven closer. And then he broke down and now he didn't pitch and you really didn't have an answer for that role. So, you know, Neris, I think, you know, was a seventh inning guy and then was asked to close. Is that, you know, is that fair to him? Well, he's a guy that's a veteran pitcher and he can do the job, but he had his issues. And throughout the season, it was tough. It was. And it's tough to, you know, to do some of these things and also protect the arms of the guys without burning out the guys that you really want to use on a nightly basis when you have the lead. So I'll say one thing about Craig Counsell that I did not know through years other than just watching him from the other side of the field. He will not overuse a guy to the point where, you know, we just need a win tonight and it's August. He's not going to put the pressure on a guy to pitch if he's not ready to pitch. And that's being able to use your bullpen and getting some trust from those guys down there. I thought he did a very good job with what he had with the pen.
He also was a guy that doesn't play games. He doesn't waste words. And he knows exactly what he's saying and how it will be interpreted. So, Coom, it's easy for us to look at that and think, well, you know what? I think that it sounds like he's sending a message to his bosses that he doesn't have a 90-win roster. He would like a 90-win roster. He came here to do more with more, not more with less. Do you think that Craig Counsell was sending his bosses a message when he said what he said yesterday?
Well, I don't know if he's sending them a message, David. I was not in his meetings that he's had with them, but I will say this. I think what you're looking at is a collective thought. To me, the only way you do this is collectively you look at what you have on the field, in your bullpen, with your staff, and you start looking around and going, okay, I've had a year now. If you're counsel, I would assume you go, I've had a year to assess everything we got. Here's my evaluation of where we're at. This is why you brought me in. I'm the highest paid manager in the game. Here's my thoughts. And those got to carry a lot of weight when you're when you've been brought in the way he has. So I think those meetings have taken place and here's what you got. And that's what I think happened.
Combos with Coomer is sponsored by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video networks, and home automation, EOCAudio.com. You know, you know how you win a division is you win in the division. You know, it's no surprise that the Cubs were 21-28 against the division, whereas Milwaukee was 30-19, and straight up, the Cubs 5-8. In their games against Milwaukee. So, you know, when you don't beat a team and you don't win in your division, it's hard to end up as the division leader.
It does. And at the end of the day, Mike, there's just that number alone. If you flip that over and the Cubs win 28, 29, 30 games in the division, we're prepping for October baseball. We're setting up the rotation, and that's what you're doing right now. So you're exactly right. And, you know, to be honest, this, our division is down this year, right? I mean, when you look, you had one team in Milwaukee that played very well all year. Not a star-studded team. They just played good baseball all year. And, you know, St. Louis is down. The Cubs are barely over 500, and the other two teams are down. You know, so this is a time, I would say, that you can make hay in the division. But you got a very short window because Pittsburgh is getting a lot better real quick. And I anticipate the same thing with Cincinnati. So, you know, you've got to get on it because Pittsburgh, with their rotation, the three guys they've got and some young players, they're going to be formidable very soon.
If you're looking at a positive overall, I would think that to choose just one between these two things would be something I think is the biggest takeaway. Either it has been the development of Pete Crow Armstrong in center field because of what that suggests about the next however many years you want to project out, or the emergence of Shota Imanaga as the ace of this staff, at least this year. Which you think was bigger and which you think is more sustainable, Coom?
Oh, that's a tough question and a very good one, David. I would say Shota probably more. The only reason why I would say Shota in this regard, just because he's a proven entity. He's 30 years old. He's right. Pitched in the Japanese League. He's come in. And, you know, from, you know, halfway through spring, the one thing in talking to counts just on the backfields is like, this guy's got a great baseball acronym. He understands our game. He understands what he has. He's trying to figure out how that equates in Major League Baseball as opposed to the Japanese League. And he figured it out. You know, at the beginning, I remember the talk was, well, this is going to be great in April and May when the wind's blowing in because he's a fly ball pitcher. How's it going to play in July and August? I think we got the answer. It plays really damn well. Tim can pitch and he knows what he's doing, and it's that simple. Now, let's go to the other guy that you talked about, Pete Crow Armstrong. I'll say this. I think it's very, very difficult to be a very young player in our league, a very young player, not even in the league, and then try to come to the big leagues and learn the big league game. I think that is a feat that you're asking, that's a really big ask. And I would say 90% of that is done. He's learning. He's learning our game at the big league level, which is almost impossible. He's figured out the offensive side, swinging the bat somewhat. You know, he's using the other side of the field. He's getting on top of the ball more and using his legs and getting either base hits or errors made while he's at the plate because of his speed. He did it last night. They gave him a hit. It was an error on Baker, but it doesn't matter. He's on first base. I don't, you know, stats aside, he's standing on first and he's going to steal second and maybe third. His center field play going and getting the ball is second to none in the league. Every team we play, their guys come in, their ex-players come into the booth to talk to me and say, what is that in center field? If the ball lands in the yard, he's catching it. So, you know, his throwing arm has gotten better and more accurate and understanding what he needs to do with that. And he's got a very good throwing arm. So I think, you know, to say one over the other with him and Shota, I think you got one really young player that's learning, and you got an established guy, you know, that could be your number one starter. And oh, by the way, we got another lefty that's, you know, was third or fourth in the Cy Young voting year last year. That's really good too. So that's a good problem to have.
You know, it's fascinating to watch the Cubs because we know that PCA has developed over the last couple of months. Michael Busch has had a hell of a season. They've got some good young players moving forward. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the minor league system is such that it's built to sort of have guys graduate into the major leagues year in and year out, really. Is this the year? I mean, it's not this year. Is next year the year where they're willing to make trades, make moves, do whatever they have to do to sort of establish themselves and make their move, or are they going to try to keep these young players graduating to the major leagues year in and year out?
Yeah, I don't have that answer, Mike. I wish I did. You know, I know fans want to hear those answers. I don't have them. You know, I think that's a question for Jed Hoyer and Tom and Carter. But I'll say this. Michael Bush, if you were to say, how about 260, 20, and 70 RBIs, would you take that? And doing a good job on defense and learning a new position and doing well there, would you take that when we were in spring training?
Yes.
I think everybody would have been a big thumbs up. Heck yes. Yeah, right?
Yes.
I no doubt. And that's what he's done. And he's becoming a very consistent hitter to the point where for half the season, he hit in the two hole. He got moved from the seven spot to the two spot because of his consistency. Michael Bush has had an incredible year to me as a rookie. Big tip of the hat to him. The Moda, our infield instructor, who worked with him day after day on learning first base. And then, you know, the guys working with him swinging. He's just become a very consistent big league player. And you have an everyday player in Michael Bush now, which is awesome to see, because that was not – you didn't know – in spring training, not one season in, you have an everyday player. That's saying something.
We got a minute left, Coom. Cody Bellinger, do you have a hunch? He drove in three last night. It's hard to project with Scott Boras being the wild card in all of this, but opting in, opting out, what do you think is coming for Cody Bellinger?
Well, yeah, I think that your wild card is definitely the wild card. You just can't predict what Scott's going to do with his clients. I think last year was a big shot in the arm to Boras that his guys didn't sign. And I think what it shows is having guys miss camp and sign way late is not a good thing. It's not good for the player. It's not good for our league. It's not good for the team that signed them. All those guys had their struggles at the beginning of the year, every single one of them. With that being said, Belly brings something to the table on this team as an outfielder and as a middle of the lineup hitter. I hope he stays. Cubs gave him a really nice 3-year deal. He's going to make a lot of money next year if he stays. I hope he stays. He's missing out on really good players, and them leaving makes another hole that you have in your lineup.
Totally
that
agree.
You got to fill.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Thanks, Ron.
Good stuff.
Always a joy, buddy. Thank you.
Boys, you have a great weekend. Always great talking to you. Yeah.
That is Ron Coomer.
Really good stuff today.
Yeah, it's very
There's
strong.
A lot there in terms of everything that was said from counsel, him looking ahead, and just assessing the state of this team at this time.
There, you know, honestly, there is no way that Bellinger is leaving. There's too much money on the table.
I think that too, but Molly, you can't really discount the Scott Boras factor.
Well, let's be brutally honest then. Don't you think the Cubs would love it if he left?
No.
Oh, I think they'd be happy.
I don't. I really don't.
I think it might save them from launching other players because they've got tons of guys waiting to come up. I'm just saying.
Saying blocking Owen Casey, blocking maybe Alcantara, blocking whoever else.
Yes.
It's a fair question. I want to get more time on this because I don't necessarily agree, but I understand why you'd say that.
All right. I'm willing to discuss it at some point, but we're locked into Mark Grody next, and we're happy about it. It's Grody time. Mully and Haw on the score.
Chicago got the comforts of a full belly, so they're going to have to loosen their belts to keep Bellinger.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Pierce.
On 670 The Score.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And you know what that song means. It's that one guy with the one song. It's Grody time. Mark Grody joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com.
Morning, Mark.
Morning, Mark.
Morning, David. Morning, Molly. Happy Friday, guys. What's happening, man?
Oh,
you guys all pumped up?
Game.
What's happening?
Big game Sunday.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, who's it more of a must win for?
That's the question. That's the trap, Grody.
I think it's the Colts.
Same.
Yeah. You've got to win football games, and if you go 0-3, you have very little chance of being able to do anything with your season.
I think, you know, you have very little. I mean, if the statistics show that 0-2 does not portend well for a team in the end. So 0-3, to your point, Molly, that's deadly. The Colts at home, having, you know, come off a loss to a backup quarterback against Green Bay.
Perhaps. Grody, the Colts defense portends.
Ooh.
Is we're gonna use that word the Bears running today, game has a chance to get well in a hurry.
Yeah, if they decide to run the ball, Mark.
If they decide to run the ball. And, you know, DeAndre Swift has been going down pretty easily himself. You know, we've all built this up this week for the Bears to be able to run against Indianapolis. And it does make sense. We've seen two teams go up against Indianapolis, and they were pretty much a sieve. But you know that the way the Bears have obsessed this week, I hope, over the offensive line and protection, the Colts are doing the exact same thing with their coaching staff and Gus Bradley trying to figure out a way to stop the run. So the Bears have, while it is a good idea to think about the Bears running the ball, there's no evidence to suggest the Bears are going to be successful at that. So I'm a little bit nervous that there's this assumption that the Bears are going to be able to run the football. I like it in theory, but I don't like to assume.
Okay. That's cautious. That's safe.
Yeah. Well, you guys think they're just going to bust it for 150 yards after doing nothing in the first 2 weeks?
You can't assume anything about this Bears offense or the offensive line.
They haven't been good at running the football. Like the idea that, Indianapolis stinks at stopping the run. The Bears have not shown they can do it yet. So
you have made the rounds, Grody, in the Bears locker room this week. I know you've talked to a lot of people. Did you talk to Coleman Shelton, who had something to say yesterday about all the criticism he's received?
Yeah, I did. I went to his locker, had a nice one-on-one chat with him, because I think he's a guy that we haven't heard from much this year, and he's a guy that seems to have been somebody that's easy to blame, and justifiably at times. I mean, he's gotten pushed around for sure. But I think what I was trying to find out from Coleman Shelton yesterday, and you know, he was great to talk to, just about his relationship with Caleb Williams, and I don't mean like off the field, I just mean the chemistry that they are building between them. And you know, while he didn't say the words work in progress, I mean, I think everything is a work in progress, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Caleb Williams is a young quarterback. Look, and there's culpability all over that line. I mean, Coleman Shelton has made mistakes, Caleb Williams has made mistakes as well, but I think, you know, unfortunately, with so many things on the Bears right now, it is work in progress. But there still is a confidence. There's no lack of it from Coleman Shelton, and that was the feel that I got from him yesterday.
This segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. You know, the offensive, we haven't talked at all about the defense and how good they have been, and how they haven't allowed much in the second half of games. But we've obsessed with the offense. We heard from the coordinator yesterday. You know, you get different answers on things without a lot of sort of substance to it, dare I say. I think he said basically that, you know, a running game will help, but he didn't really commit to the running game. I also wonder if you know if they've been working under center at all. Wouldn't that help the offensive line? Wouldn't that help play action and therefore help the quarterback? They're not going to change their offense 3 games in, but we kept hearing when Shane Waldron was hired that he was hired because of his versatility. How versatile do you expect them to be at Indianapolis?
Yeah, that's a great point, Molly. I mean, he and the rest of the offensive staff have to show now that they can adjust. I liked what they thought they had to begin this season, that they thought it would be a, and it still very well could be, you know, high-powered offense where the focus of your offense is those three big wide receivers. But, and I like to oversimplify things, I like to just circle those three guys right there. I mean, Keenan Allen, again, didn't practice yesterday. We'll find out today if he's going to play, but he obviously wasn't in there last week. I don't think Rome Odunze is a big factor yet for this team. I mean, he's, you know, he's out there, but he's not, you know, he's still learning and he's banged up a little bit. So you've got DJ Moore as your primary receiver again, just like last year. So he, Shane Waldron needs to center it around DJ Moore. As we've been talking about, you need to figure out how to establish a running game. And even if this is stuff that Shane Waldron and the Bears offense did not want to do, I'm sure that the Bears fans listening didn't want to see it this way. But in the name of winning, because again, we're out of the development phase of this Chicago Bears, you know, of this version of the Bears. You just have to figure out a way to win the football game, and there are ways to do it against the Colts.
A lot of noise this week, a lot of nonsense, a lot of things that maybe we talked about too much, Grody. But what was the most neglected storyline in your view between Bears and Colts this week?
Most neglected storyline throughout the week. I mean, offense. I think probably what Molly was talking about to start, the Bears defense again always gets pushed to the background, it feels like, in these circumstances. I mean, I've covered many Bears teams where it's just about defense and not about offense. So I feel like we've done a poor job, and I'm talking about the collective media at Halas Hall, of really giving the proper praise to or proper attention to just how good the defense has been in the last 2 weeks, especially in the second half. And they've got an opportunity to do it this week. I mean, you gotta, I feel like Anthony Richardson is a walking 50-50 ball right now. I mean, he was great in the first game with the two bombs that he threw, and then he threw the three interceptions this past week against Green Bay. So again, there's going to be serious opportunities for the defense.
You know, when we think about, and David hates when I bring it up, but Velus Jones, you know, had the fumble, and we haven't seen him since. When he was mentioned as an inactive, they listed him as a wide receiver. He was working out the last couple of days as a wide receiver. Is that just because of injuries? Is that just because of the fact that Keenan Allen is still on the injury report and hasn't been able to practice, or does that symbolize or represent a change of position? And Biggsy said he wasn't even sure if he was ever listed as a running back, but certainly they talked about him as such, and they gave him the ball in the first game a couple times.
Maybe they've just completely given up, and they're just like, hey, go wherever you want. You want to play wide receiver in practice? That's cool. you want to be a running back?
They wouldn't be the only ones
fine.
To give up.
Like, I think that this is, I don't know if Velus Jones will be active. Probably not would be my guess. But, you know, as we're sitting here talking about adjustments and doing what you have to do to make this offense better, if they feel like having Velus Jones in there playing whatever position it is would make this offense better, then that's what they're going to do. But, I mean, I can't imagine that that's part of the solution at this point, the Velus Jones. I just think that that's done. I mean, I just think it would be irresponsible. Again, I mean, I said it before the season started. Do you want to see Velus Jones in key spots in a game? And it's just, I don't. And I guess the Haw is the same, right, Haw? Because you don't like hearing about this? Is that the disclaimer?
I think it's overstated a little bit.
I'm just curious. Yeah. I think it's interesting they moved.
Are you stirring it up with Haw? Are you trying
no,
to
No, I think
Haw?
That Molly's overstating my disgust over it. I don't really care.
Oh, okay. So it's like overrated. Okay.
But you,
I gotcha.
But you
I've been
wonder
there.
Why we even mention it. Right?
I do wonder sometimes. Okay. I think we mention it too much.
Okay.
Velus.
Yeah, a little bit.
Are you the protector of Velus?
No, I'm not the protector of Velus. I'm the protector of interesting items. Oh. I think the bottom of the roster is not that interesting to me.
I'm fascinated by it.
So we're at the point where we're talking bottom of the roster in week three? What the hell is going on here?
Well, they need help.
This team?
They
what
need
this
help.
Team?
Help us predict this game. Mully picked the Colts. I picked the Bears. Biggsy went the Bears. What say you?
Oh boy, I guess I'm going to make it a 2-2 ball game, ladies and gentlemen. 2-2 ball game. Boom.
Boom. Wow.
I'm going to go 24-17 Colts. I hate to say it. I think the Colts are going to win. I think it's part of the conversation that we were having earlier that this is an absolute must-win for the Colts. And guess what? While I do think the Bears will adjust, so will the Colts. So will the Colts in terms of the way they attack the running game. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out. With that bad running team, bad team at stopping the run, both will adjust a little bit, and I think that the Colts end up winning the game.
Well, I mean, there is a statistic out there that if you start 0-2, you are 70% likely to win in week three based on the last 15 years or so, since 2010.
So what you're saying is that does portend well
for your
fancy verbs.
Portend. I've been using that word a little bit too much lately. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. So I'm going to try to ease it out. I think it's done its job. It's made me sound smarter, but it's time to find a new word.
I'm impressed, though, Grody. You did it best,
man.
Let's pretend you didn't use portend.
Ooh, pretend portend. That's very good. That's very good.
Thanks, good buddy. Stuff, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great game. Looking forward to talk to you on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'll be in Indianapolis. I blast off for Indianapolis tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to being live there and talking to you guys on the pregame show.
Fun
looking
town.
Forward to it. Yeah.
What's the name of that seafood restaurant?
St. Elmo's. They've got a shrimp cocktail. I'm the only person, actually. I am not crazy about the shrimp cocktail. Too hot. It's an unpleasant experience. Too much. Hopefully. Like, I like hot food, but like to
it
have no
unpleasant.
Choice.
Yeah.
Because it's all scrambled in there. The sauce is all scrambled in to the shrimp.
India a little too spicy for you, Grody? India guys a little too much spice?
I guess so. Okay. But I
what's
like
the name of that seafood place?
St. Elmo's.
No, not St. Elmo's. The steakhouse.
Right.
Steakhouse. You're is it called Flounders?
No.
It's like Oceana?
Oceana. I think
it's
called
House.
Oceana. That's
called
right. It's a really good, it's kind of like a Shaw's Crab House type joint.
Oh, really? What's it called again? Maybe I will.
Oceana.
Oceana.
Cancel your reservations at Steak and Shake, Grody.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Tell them.
Hey, man.
Just go in and tell them. Mitch Rosen sent me.
Hey, Steak and Shake is where see people.
Oh,
late
you
at
do,
night.
You
I'm
do.
Tell
meet
you what,
many
I'm
of
gonna
people.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
You go to the combine, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's a good spot.
Coaches, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Drive safely, Grody.
Have a good
all
trip.
Right. Are you guys don't want to talk anymore? Okay. All
no,
right.
No, we're
going to
say
talk.
Goodbye
all right.
now.
All right.
Bye, we
guys.
Love you dearly.
We're pretending
love
the farewell.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
That is the great Mark Grody. That's interesting. It's very interesting.
He picked the Colts.
I know. I'm surprised.
He was out there all week.
All right.
You might sense something.
So was Big Z, though. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
I don't look at that stuff, to be honest, no. Yeah. I mean, don't want to mess with your own head, so you just kick back, and all I'm worried about is what's going on in this building.
What is your relationship with Caleb Williams like?
It's great. I mean, we got a lot of back and forth. We're always talking off, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, and we're trying to work together as much as we can. You know, that's the goal for us, for him and I, to be on the same page for every play. So we get the protections dialed in and, you know, the alerts or whatever it is. So we're just there together, working together.
One thing that's been talked about a lot is communication. Coaches talk about need better communication. What does that mean to you? What is your part in communication along the offensive line?
Right, well, especially for these road games when it's super loud, right? It's not just verbal, it's visual communication. Just making sure everyone's on the same page. And, you know, when you use the silent cadence, obviously that's on the center and the guard and the QB and all of us to work together to get that playoff and to get going. And as much time as we can have on the line, the more we're able to communicate and before that crowd gets super loud, right, before the down, you know what I mean? So it's all just timing and just being urgent and urgent to the line.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You are listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and IDOT. It's not a game, Illinois.com. And you heard the voice there of Coleman Shelton talking to our own Mark Grody. We just talked to Mark. And we hear from his conversation with Coleman Shelton, who is dealing with the communication with the rookie quarterback. And he is one of the players that is under a lot of scrutiny and doesn't seem too pleased with it.
It would be an exaggeration to say that Coleman Shelton has received the most criticism among offensive linemen. I think Nate Davis has earned that designation, and he's earned it, and he deserves it. Coleman Shelton would be a close second. I think because of the way that the center position has taken on such great importance on this Bears offensive line, because they really haven't had, boy, one that's trustworthy in a while.
He had a terrible first game, and you saw him sort of at one point joining in to triple block a guy while a blitzer ran past him. That happened.
It was a bad look.
And everybody saw it.
Yeah.
And then last week, he did not have – I think he allowed two pressures. That's not a bad day.
It's not a bad day.
Unfortunately, there was one play where he was knocked into Caleb Williams' lap, and the guy came over the top, and it was a penalty. So it didn't count as a pressure or a sack.
But you remember
instead
it.
Instead, it was a first time.
But you remember it.
It looks rough when you're knocked down.
The optics have been bad for Coleman Shelton.
Yes.
That's why I think statistically you could make the argument that he did improve from week one to week two.
Right.
But I'm not sure people care about those stats if you are looking at those optics. Because the optics are, boy, he may help get everybody lined up, but he just knows exactly where to stand and position himself to get run over.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really matter if you're getting manhandled how you line everybody up.
He's lining everyone up. He knows what's going on. He's trying to communicate with the quarterback. And then somehow he's getting pancaked. You know what I mean?
How is that
he's
happening?
Not going after guys and knocking them
and
down.
Why?
He's, yes.
Yeah. So I think that it was good for Mark Grody to track him down. And I think it's good that he feels a little bit picked on,
good.
Maybe have a little bit
good.
Of an edge. Whatever it takes to get this Bears offensive line to play at a higher level, I think everyone would accept that and understand why they would feel a little bit victimized this week. They've been vilified all season, through two games. It's time for them to step up. It's time for them to change the storyline. It's time for them to really give the Bears an identity offensively.
Look, when you think about that offensive line, you know, what do offensive lines usually do best? Go downhill and run the football. Any guy that's ever played on the offensive line, that would be the preference. No one likes backpedaling and trying to protect. And I know how important it is to the game, but most players like to get a little bit of a lather and power themselves forward. And that is the dream of the NFL, to be able to get yourself lathered up, to be able to hit someone and move the football while you do so. And that's what they're after.
And contribute to a victory and be the reason your team establishes an identity. I think run blocking, if you ask 100 offensive linemen, which is the part of the job they like the most or prefer, how many would answer run blocking? 90%?
You know, so this is an opportunity to do so. I just wonder if they're going to.
You question the play caller more than you question the line?
Well, I think that, you know, Olin, we talked to Olin on Monday, and he said some very interesting things, including he talked about a play that happened in the third quarter of the game, and then he tweeted it out. And it was like the only time where they got under center, where they handed the ball off up the middle of the field, and they got a nice gain. And I don't understand why you don't do more of that, just to get the quarterback more comfortable. I would imagine, David, that everybody knows that Houston blitzed 41.7% of the time in that game. That is not a team that is blitz happy. That is a team that is exactly the opposite. They're blitz reluctant. And yet they blitzed because that's what you do.
Colts are the same way.
Against young players.
Numbers say that they don't blitz a lot. Expect them to blitz a lot.
Especially if they've got injuries on their defensive
line. No doubt about it.
So that does give me pause.
Yeah, I think Coleman Shelton sounds ready. We'll find out if the rest of the offensive line is.
All right, we're gonna shift gears, and we're going to go into our other studio, and we've got a special little something for
you
next.
Yeah, we're going to go down the hallway and be on the performance stage in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio.
Yeah, we're doing that right now. We'll be right back. Mully and Haw on the Score.